If we could open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5 tonight. And just to give us context what we're going to look at, I'd like to just read the chapter of 2 Kings 5. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Whereof hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand, and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not the Abner and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, and in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, even now there be come unto me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.' And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants. And they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and thy seed for ever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow." Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this account we have here. And we just pray that you would show us what you would have us to learn tonight from this account in your word, and that your name would be honoured and glorified in all aspects. In Jesus' name, amen. A familiar story we have here in 2 Kings 5. And I want to focus our attention tonight on the man called Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, Elisha. And sometimes as we look at different stories and accounts you find in the Bible, and you look at different characters in the Bible, and sometimes we think, what in the world is this person doing in the Bible? And often the Lord puts the Bible, it just tells us what happens. And often the Lord reveals these things to us so that we can learn from the example of these people, both the good and the faithful, and those who perhaps failed in the task God had given them. And Gehazi is mentioned in a few places in 2 Kings. He's mentioned back in chapter 4, where we have the story of the Shunammite woman who reached out to Elisha over an extended period of Elisha's ministry. And you can read that in 2 Kings 4, how that woman from Shunem built a little room for Elisha on her house. And Elisha often stopped by and had a meal or a sleep, or as he travelled around Israel serving the Lord in his ministry that the Lord had given him. And the story in chapter 4, Elisha was able to give that woman a son as a reward for her services to him. And Gehazi was the one who suggested that reward for that woman. So Gehazi was the servant of the man of God, and he was deeply involved in Elisha's ministry. He was there with many of the events and many of the miraculous events in the life and ministry of the man of God, Elisha. Elisha rose that Shunammite woman's son from the dead in 2 Kings 4, and Gehazi was there when that happened. He saw Elisha perform many notable miracles, and he saw the ministry that Elisha had as the man of God in Israel in those days. But Gehazi, who watched all this happen and saw many wonderful things of God, we see here in this chapter that something went wrong in this man's heart and life. And I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of Naaman, that Syrian captain who came across from Syria into Israel seeking a cure for his problem, which was the disease of leprosy. And I'm sure, all familiar with the story of that little maid who was instrumental in guiding Naaman to Israel to seek out the man of God for healing of his leprosy. And we see the story as it unfolds here in chapter 5. And the king of Syria hears of this suggestion by the maid that if you go to Israel and see the prophet, he would recover him of his leprosy. And the king of Syria says to Naaman, go and see what can be done. And perhaps the king of Syria got the story a bit wrong, because he writes a letter to the king of Israel and sends Naaman to the king of Israel. He must have missed the details of the mention of the prophet of God, the man of God. And he sends Naaman to the king of Israel. And as we read, the king of Israel gets into a bit of a tizzy when Naaman turns up on his doorstep and asks to be healed of his leprosy. And of course, the king of Israel had no way of performing this request. And perhaps the king of Israel thought it was a political ploy to create trouble between Syria and Israel. And he rents his clothes as he tries to work out what to do with this situation, with this important man from the Syrian army, the captain of the host, a man of valor, an important man in the Syrian nation, is there and says, "Heal me of my leprosy." And Elisha hears of this quandary and he sends him a messenger. And so Naaman arrives at the house of Elisha, the man of God, where he should have been in the first place. And Naaman arrives at the house of Elisha there in verse 10, and with his horses and his chariot, obviously a great company with him. And Elisha there in verse 10 just sends a messenger out to him. He doesn't even come to the door. And quite possibly that messenger was Gehazi, who came to the door with the message, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean." And even though at first Naaman's reaction is anger and a feeling of just going back home, because he thought he should have had Elisha come out and do some wondrous action over him, but finally he's obedient and he goes and dips himself in the River Jordan and he finds himself cleansed. And then we come to Gehazi there in the last part of the chapter. And Gehazi seems to have allowed a bit of greed to get the better of him. And it wasn't enough for Gehazi to be a minister to others. He seemed to be seeking some sort of benefit coming back to himself. And as we look into it, we see how this shows his lack of faith. He seemed to not believe that the way Elisha was ministering, because he did the exact opposite of Elisha, who refused to take one penny from the captain of the host of Syria, Naaman. And then we see Gehazi lying to Elisha's face about where he'd been and what he had been doing. So what can we learn from this man, Gehazi? What can we take on board for ourselves from this man, this servant? And first of all, I'd like to compare Naaman and Gehazi together. And let's put these two men from two different types of life and see how they compared up. So let's first of all look at Naaman, the characteristics of Naaman, that mighty man of valor from the host of the army of Syria. The first thing we see about Naaman, he had a little knowledge about God. He didn't know much about God at all. He perhaps knew that the nation of Israel served a god, and he probably it seems like he didn't have much more knowledge than that. But there was, you could say Naaman was like your regular person on the streets of Bendigo today. Little knowledge of God. Perhaps knows there might be a God, maybe there's not a God, maybe it's the wrong God. And you can understand from Naaman's perspective how he would have felt, and his very little knowledge of God. He didn't know much of God at all. Another thing we can note about Naaman is he had an ungodly heritage. An ungodly heritage. He was a Syrian. The Syrians had taken control over Israel at this time, as we see that they'd taken that little maid away captive out of Israel, and she was a slave. And, you know, Syria didn't have a godly heritage like Israel. Israel was God's chosen people, and God had given Israel a special blessing and attention at this time in history. But Naaman had no godly heritage. He probably served the false gods of Syria. And we see in the middle of the chapter there, he mentions the temple of Rimmon. And so Naaman, he had an ungodly heritage. He also, the other thing we note about him, he had an ungodly job. Basically, it was his job to kill people and keep Syria as number one in the world they knew then. He was a leader of the army, and his job was to lead the army and conquer and kill any enemies, whatever it took, just keep his country supreme. So his job was nothing that anyone would really aspire to be, really, if you think about the details of it. And then another thing we can note about Naaman, he had more faith than most of Israel. He had more faith than most of Israel. This ungodly heathen demonstrated a greater faith in the God of Israel than most of the Israelites living in that time. And if we just quickly turn to Luke chapter 4, Christ makes mention of Naaman in Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. And he's talking about the prophet Elisha in this passage, if you read the context. But just to hone in on verse 27, and Christ says, "And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisheus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." There was many lepers living in Israel at the time of this event in 2 Kings 5. But Christ says, none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian, he wasn't even an Israelite. So why was there so many lepers living in Israel, next door to the man of God, Elisha, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman, that ungodly Syrian? Did an ungodly heathen Syrian have more faith than the Israelites, that chosen children of God? He had more faith than Israel did in that day. And his actions demonstrated that faith. Naaman wasn't immediate in obeying the instruction given him. He got angry and he was going to stamp off home and sulk or something, because it didn't happen how he expected it to happen. He expected a bit of pomp and ceremony and perhaps a red carpet or something, but it didn't happen that way. He just got perhaps Gehazi coming to the door of the house of Elisha and saying, "Go and jump in the muddy old Jordan 7 times. And that hurt Naaman's pride. He did hesitate. He did struggle with his pride. And he did struggle to stoop down and humble himself to that act. But with some persuasion and coaxing by some sensible servants of his, he did take the action. And he did demonstrate his faith. He dipped himself 7 times as commanded in the river of Jordan. And his reward was immediate. He had a new life physically, but we can also see from the scriptures that he also had a new faith. He had a new life spiritually. In verse 15 of 2 Kings 5, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all earth but in Israel. And now, therefore, I pray, take thee a blessing of thy servant. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all earth but in Israel." Naaman was a changed man. Suddenly his knowledge of God had changed. He now knows that there's no God in all earth but the one in Israel, the God of Israel. He was changed. He had a new life physically, and he had a new life spiritually. Let's now compare Naaman to Gehazi. The characteristics of Gehazi: much knowledge of God. He sat at the feet of Elisha, the man of God. He ministered with the man of God. Imagine being in Gehazi's shoes. He followed Elisha. He saw firsthand the miracles of God at the hand of Elisha. He saw people raised from the dead. He saw a woman conceive a son, even though it was impossible physically. He saw a Syrian captain healed of his leprosy, and a new life, a new heart in that Syrian captain. Gehazi, he had much knowledge of God. He had first-hand demonstrations of the power of God and what God could do. He had first-hand front seat experience of God and what God could do and who God was. Gehazi had a godly Israelite heritage. No doubt Gehazi was an Israelite. He knew the history of Israel. He would have known his godly heritage. He would have known at least the books of Moses. He would have known how God had brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt. If you think about it, Gehazi had a rich, godly heritage. And he would have known much about God and his heritage in that way. Think about Gehazi's job. He had a godly job as the servant of the man of God. Basically, you could say he was in full-time ministry. He was there at the feet of Elisha. He was following Elisha's footsteps. He was serving God just the same as someone in full-time ministry. That was what he did. He didn't have any other job. He followed Elisha. And it's interesting, as a note, if you look back in 1 Kings 19:19, you'll find that Elisha, the man of God, served in exactly the same way that Gehazi did in the first call to the ministry. Elisha ministered to Elijah, the prophet of God. He was like Gehazi. Elisha once was a servant of Elijah, the man of God before him. And here now is Gehazi serving Elisha in exactly the same role. What a privilege and blessing it must have been to serve in this way and to see firsthand the hand of God at work. Another characteristic of Gehazi, he seemed to have less faith than most of Israel. It seems that Gehazi lacked faith. He had a lot of knowledge. He had a lot of knowledge in his head. He knew about God. He had a godly heritage. He had a full-time ministry with this man of God. And yet, it seemed to be all in his head, but perhaps missing from his heart. He was unable, if you read back in 2 Kings 4, Elisha actually sent him on before when he was going to see the Shunammite's son. He sent Gehazi before him to put his rod on the son and perhaps raise him from the dead, but nothing happened when Gehazi did that. His actions demonstrated his lack of faith. His true state of heart is revealed to us in those last verses of 2 Kings 5. Gehazi suddenly was confronted with a temptation. He suddenly saw an opportunity to gain some earthly treasure. Naaman had offered all this presents and gold to his master, Elisha, the man of God. And he suddenly saw an opportunity to gain some earthly treasures. And it seems that Gehazi was still thinking he was in the Lord's will when he did this. Note in verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian, not in receiving in his hands that he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." In a bizarre kind of way, Gehazi says, "As the Lord liveth, I will run after Naaman and take somewhat of him." And perhaps even at this stage, Gehazi did not realise the mistake he was making. And he missed the fact that salvation is a free gift from God. Elisha did not want any money or goods from Naaman, because salvation is a free gift of God to be taken by faith alone. You know, Naaman didn't know a lot about God, But what he did know, it appears he believed it, because he had the faith to step down to that Jordan River and dip himself 7 times. He could have stopped after the first dip and said, "This is no good. I'm not going to continue." But he went through 7 times. And, you know, Gehazi knew a lot more about God, but he appeared to have no faith in the things he knew. And that's the challenge for us. Which one are we more like tonight? Maybe you don't know much about God, like Naaman the Syrian. But what little you know, do you believe it? Perhaps you don't know a lot about God from attending services each week. But no, we need to have a faith in all those things that we do know. And on the other side of things, perhaps we have a godly heritage. Perhaps we know a lot about God. Perhaps we have a godly family. And all your life you've heard about the truth of God's word. But have you believed that yourself personally? You know, this seemed to be the problem Gehazi had. We see here in the story someone by who all accounts was in close contact with God in many ways and lived a day-by-day existence in the presence of the man of God who did many wonderful things in the name of God. And it seems that Gehazi was familiar with all these things. He was familiar with the power of God. He was familiar with what God could do. And he's familiar with what God was able to do. But it seems he failed to take it on board for himself personally. You know, I imagine Gehazi as the servant of Elisha, seeing people raised from the dead, seeing the mighty hand of God at work through the ministry of Elisha. And he was there, as it were, in the front seat, right there at the action. And yet, when the pressure came, he failed. And, you know, it was Gehazi who was there when all the big events took place. He was right there. He was part of it. But then when the pressure came, he failed, and failed very dismally and very suddenly. And so I guess the question for us is, are we headed for success or failure? Naaman turned out to be a man of faith. He didn't know a lot about God, but what he did know, he believed with all his heart. And he had a new life in Christ. You know, Naaman reminds me of the lost sinner who originally had no idea about God, totally ungodly, totally lost, and totally ignorant of his position. Suddenly he is confronted with the fact of God and what God wants him to do. And he does struggle with his pride, and he does struggle to accept the new facts, but he comes through by faith. And suddenly Naaman is a new man. You know, Gehazi, on the other hand, knew a lot, but had no faith in those things he knew. And it seems he was not content. And secretly he followed after Naaman and tells some lies and gains some earthly treasure. And perhaps at that point, Gehazi felt that life was good. He would never have to worry about financial future. He had a lot of money, some garments, and other things that Naaman had given him. And, you know, until he came to that point where Elisha confronted him with reality, perhaps he still thought he was on the right track. And even if he'd thought that he could trick Elisha, I'm not sure how he had thought he would sidestep the all-knowing God who saw what he did. And we need to think about Gehazi and what happened to him. And perhaps we have gone to church every time the doors are open. Perhaps we have Christian parents. Perhaps you know a whole lot about God's word. You might better say verses, you might know all the facts, you might know all the truth of God's word and all the doctrine. You might know all these things, like Gehazi appeared to. But do you personally believe it? Have you made a personal faith in God for yourself, not just following your pastor or your parents or anybody else who might be following God? We need to make our own decision in that area. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Here in chapter 2 of Philippians, in the preceding verses of verse 12, basically from verse 6 to 11, Paul sums up the who of Jesus Christ. And it's some wonderful verses there, 6 to 11, describing the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and became a man for our benefit. And he became obedient unto the death of the cross. And as it says, and the reason for it in verse 10, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And then we come to verse 12. And Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It appears Paul didn't want these Philippian believers relying on him, Paul, for their salvation. He wanted to be sure that they'd worked out their own salvation. He says here, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. And then he says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You know, Paul seemed to have a little concern here that perhaps while he was present, everything was good and everyone was following him. But he said, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't want them relying on him and following him. He wanted them to follow Christ. And as verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is how it should be. It should be God that worketh in us, not ourselves. You know, Gehazi was working of himself. He'd worked out his own way, his own salvation. And he lost his fear of God. He'd lost his fear of God. He'd become so familiar with his knowledge of God that he lost that fear of God. And, you know, often that can happen. We can pray all the time, both publicly and privately. And sometimes it can become a ritual. It can become something we do just because that's what we do. We can read the Bible, both publicly and privately. But maybe sometimes we allow ourselves to become ritualistic in these things. We can hear about God's power. We can read about it. And sometimes it's easy to become too laid back and, like Gehazi, forget what the most important thing is, to have that faith in God for ourselves. We need to remember our first love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be grateful if we have a Christian heritage. We need to treasure that. Not everybody has a Christian heritage. Some come, like Naaman, from an ungodly heritage, no background. And really, it is a privilege to have a godly heritage. I wonder if Gehazi ever stopped to remember the time when Elisha invited him to serve as his servant. He must have been awed and overcome at that time when he was chosen to be the servant of the man of God. We should look back to the time when we chose to become the child of God, and what an awesome thing that was for us. It should ever be fresh in our minds. Was Gehazi so busy being the servant of the man of God and being so busy in the ministry, he forgot that he needed to have that refreshment and to remember where he was and why he was there? You know, this is not our kingdom. It's not our ministry. It's not our service. It's not our life. It's our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be there for Him, spending our time for Him. But too often we can get carried away and forget the reason for our faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, while His ministry on earth, He told His disciples to come and rest a while in Mark 6:31. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, they had no leisure so much as to eat. Sometimes we need to stop and refresh and revitalize our spiritual life. I remember a friend of when I was a lot younger, I think I was still at school, a friend of mine, I can't remember what we were discussing. It was some doctrinal sort of matter. And he made a comment that I never forgot. He said, "You only believe that because your parents do." And I had to stop and think and thought, why do I believe that? And, you know, that's something that's really good to have, to work out your own salvation, to work out your own faith, to know why you believe in God and the things of God, and to have it as a personal conviction, not just because perhaps the man of God or the pastor or your father or your mother believes it. You need to believe it because you know it's the truth of God. It has to be a personal conviction, a personal matter of our faith. It has to be our conviction. And we need to avoid the Gehazi syndrome of becoming too familiar with the holy things. And we need to stop and think and refresh in our minds and renew our faith. We need to be like more like Naaman, who got rid of his pride. He stooped down and he obeyed God, and suddenly he was rejoicing in the fact that he found the one and true God, and he'd worked out his own salvation. And whereas Gehazi, the last time we see him, is going out white as snow with the leprosy of Naaman. And you know, we don't know much more about Gehazi in the Bible. We don't know where he ended up. Maybe he came back to the Lord, but we don't know. So let each one of us remember the story of Gehazi and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't rely on the man of God. Don't just follow in someone else's footsteps. We need to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's our faith that is the most important thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many accounts that we have in it that we can look at, and we can learn something from the lives of those who've gone before. And we thank you for the gift of salvation from your Son. And we thank you that it's free and it's open to all. And we thank you that we can indeed put our faith and trust in you and know that you will deliver on our behalf. And we just pray that each one of us would be like Naaman, who took that step of faith, and even though it seemed to him perhaps ridiculous, but he took it and he was a new man, changed. And we just pray that we would not be like Gehazi, who knew the facts but didn't have the faith and didn't take it on board personally. And we just thank you for this time in your word, and pray that you'll bless it to each one's heart. In Jesus' name, amen.